Welcome to the Simply Authentic Podcast with Angie and Tanya. We are real estate pros, entrepreneurs, leadership gurus, and community enthusiasts. Our passion is sharing our experiences to enrich the lives of others. We hope to inspire you to live authentically. Welcome back to the Simply Authentic Podcast. I'm Angie Mullings.
And I'm Tanya Murfin. Angie, it is hot and heavy real estate season right now. Mm-hmm. We are just heading into April.
Yes.
How is your business so far? How's your company, your business? How's everything going?
Yeah, I certainly see a lot of pickup already. I mean, our fourth quarter was maybe not great for everyone, but you know, everyone is back in that mood of getting their house on the market. We've seen more listings, I feel like. There's been an uptick in that.
Agree.
We've also, if you look at the monthly stats, you see that prices are still over last year, going up over last year.
Yep.
And days on market have extended a little bit.
Yeah. I agree. I would agree with all of that. Have you dealt with any multiple offers yet?
No, not recently.
I dealt with one yesterday.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
And just to clarify for all of those people who are getting ready to put their houses on the market, not a normal variant in 2025's market. We don't expect to see a ton of that.
Right.
But I think what we have learned is that when you have a really good property and or just something that you suddenly have a flurry of activity on.
Mm-hmm.
And in my case, this was a listing that has been on the market for several months.
Okay.
But it just so happens that two people collide on the same weekend wanting to make an offer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny when that happens because we've been on the market for months. We've had lots of showings. Lots of positive feedback, but recently did a good price reduction.
Okay.
And now we've got some good interest.
Okay, good.
So had to play that game yesterday of, you know, talking with the seller and communicating with both the agents and making sure I was telling both of them the same information. And, you know, so again, that is not something that every seller can expect to see.
Right.
But on the right house and the right weekend, you might see that happen.
Yeah. So, just some things that we run into as realtors.
Yes.
And for our listeners out there, today, what we hope you take away from this conversation we're going to have is a couple of different things, really.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, we want you to gain some insight for when you are getting ready to choose a realtor, what kind of questions you should ask them, what you should be looking for in a realtor.
Right.
And then on the other side of that, we've seen so many people get into our industry recently.
Mm-hmm.
And if you or someone you know is thinking about getting into real estate, then we're going to give you some information that they should have, some great tips on things to think about before you get into the real estate market.
Absolutely. And Angie, you and I come at it at a perspective of having many years under our belt, right? So we could give some pretty good advice of should I become a realtor?
Yeah.
Also, from a broker's perspective, we have interviewed lots of new realtors.
Right.
And I would like to touch on that part at some point in our discussion of, as a broker owner, what we are looking for when we go to interview new licensees.
Right. Yeah.
Because that's
for
an important
thing. I think we can cover all that. And I agree that's an important thing because when I got my real estate license, I was pretty much fresh out of college and didn't know a whole lot about what I was getting into. So hopefully people are starting to get a little more educated because what they see on the outside is not
correct
what it truly is. We've used this phrase on the podcast before, but it's not HGTV perfect.
It is not.
And so we need to make sure that people understand what they're getting into. Hopefully they're doing lots of research, more than I certainly did. Would it have changed my mind if I'd done research? Maybe, maybe not. I was a headstrong 20-something, you know, but honestly, I wish I would have done a little more research. And I do encourage people now as a broker to do more research in the career path they're choosing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a lot of people who choose this career many times as a second, third, fourth, fifth career, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So, yes, we get the people straight out of college who want to go into mm-hmm. it, but more so, probably the average age of a realtor is more 35 to 55,
yeah.
wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I was going to say right around 40.
Yes.
I think is the last statistic I saw was yeah. 40, 42, something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I also want to point out that a lot of people think that it's a fast career to get into, which mm-hmm. we're going to clarify that here in a minute.
Yeah.
Easy mm-hmm. to get into. Mm-hmm. We're going to clarify that because it's not as easy as it looks. But also that a lot of what realtors are posting on social media creates a buzz and a feeling that, oh my gosh, they are so busy and they're closing on so many deals. They're mm-hmm. making so much money.
Right.
And the behind the scenes is much different than that. There are a lot of ways we can promote ourselves on social media mm-hmm. that doesn't equate to making a dime mm-hmm. of money,
right.
doesn't equate to cashing a check, mm-hmm. doesn't equate to you know, adding to your volume for the year, mm-hmm. none of that.
Right.
So there's a lot of what you see your realtor friends doing on social media that is kind of smoke and mirrors type mm-hmm. of thing. And mm-hmm. I don't want to say that we're all putting a bunch of junk on there because
no,
we're not.
It's all true. It's all things we do. But is it really leading towards a paycheck? A lot of it is not.
Correct. Yeah.
yeah.
A lot of it's informative. A lot of it is showcasing other people's listings. A lot of mm-hmm. it is maybe bragging on you showing houses today. But if you didn't write a contract and you don't go to closing, you're not getting paid.
Right.
So
right.
Okay. So let's okay. start from, hey, Angie, I was thinking about getting my license and getting into real estate.
Mm-hmm.
What's next? What are the first steps?
Yeah. Well, obviously, I think there's some questions you need to ask yourself because this is not a W-2 job.
No.
This is a 1099.
It is.
It is a job where you need to be a self-starter. You need to be self-motivated because you're going to have a broker. You can't,
That's right.
as a licensee, just go out and start selling real estate. You must choose a broker first.
Right.
So but the broker is not your boss.
Right.
Your broker is there to assist you, to guide you. The best brokers really take you under their wing, so to speak. They're there for support. They're there for your training because real estate school doesn't teach you how to sell real estate.
That's
so,
right.
you know, when you're first thinking about it, again, we want you to do a lot of research and think about your own personality. If you are used to getting if you've been a W-2, if you're used to getting a salary, it's going to be much different.
Right.
And as you mentioned, a lot of people get into this as their second or third or fourth career.
Right.
So it depends on what you've been used to. You are an entrepreneur.
Yes.
You need to look at it like this is your business. You don't necessarily have a storefront,
right.
but you need to practice as if you do have a storefront.
Right.
Because you want to put your best foot forward and you need to have customers to make mm-hmm. To make a living. And that's, I think, one of the hardest things about when you get your license is I don't know what the concept is that people think where our leads come from, the people who trust mm-hmm. us and do business with us. Because I have a lot of people get into the business and say, okay, now where are my clients?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're just going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think assuming that, I mean, your sphere of influence is obviously you need a strong sphere of influence.
Yes.
And you need to have a way to reach out to those people. But you can't assume that every friend and family member is going to do business with you.
No.
Because as a matter of fact,
They usually don't. Yeah.
They usually don't. Yeah.
Yeah. Close friends and family members sometimes are the most painful people to work for.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Because you know them intimately.
Yeah.
But many times they've got a relationship with a realtor that they're now friends with that they've mm-hmm. known for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're having to use you, the very new licensee, over their 20-year friend. That's not as easy of a move as people think it is.
Right.
And so backing up to what does it take? Okay, well, you can do school online these days,
mm-hmm.
which
mm-hmm.
I think fast-paced is maybe a 3-week online class. You can go in person And that used to be a 2 week. I think it still is.
Yeah, 10 days to 2 weeks, depending on how you, if you go full time or if you take
exactly part-time. Night classes or something like that. So in 2 weeks, you can pass the class test and then sit for your state and national test. You have to pass both of those tests to actually get licensed. Well, then there are fees involved with all of that, of course. You can't go to school for free, so you've got to look into that.
Right.
But then once you have passed your test, you've got to join a brokerage, like Angie said. So you have 6 months in Missouri to choose a brokerage, which is a lot of time. But keep in mind, if this is going to be your career, you need to fast track that and probably have already done a little bit of homework before you ever went to school of what are the brokerages that I see the most, that I hear the most, that I have some friends at. Who could I be talking to in the meantime?
Right.
To try to figure out where I want to go. And then once you've got that, you've passed your tests, then you make appointments with the brokerages you want to interview. And you're going to be asking questions like, what is your training? That is a probably would be at the very top of my list.
That's number one for me.
Exactly. What is your training like? What are your expectations, Mr. Broker, Mr. or Mrs. Broker, of me, the realtor? Do you take part-time agents? Because so many people get into this business with already having a full or part-time job, and they're going to supplement their income with real estate. Being a part-time realtor doesn't work anymore, folks. It just doesn't. I'm telling you, from a broker's perspective and from a full-time, working over 40 hours a week realtor for 23 years, being a part-time realtor will not cut the mustard with most clients.
And it's just too hard. It's too hard for you as an individual to keep up with all the changes, contract changes. We just had new contracts come out, new home construction contracts. If you're not in this business daily, you don't know, and it's hard to keep up.
Exactly.
And that's why another thing you should ask is when you're sitting down with brokers is what's your support look like?
That's
what kind of broker support do you give? And that's really important to know that you've got someone, especially when you're brand new, that you've got someone looking out for you and that can help you when you're with the client, not call you back 3 days later when it's not going to help you now.
Right.
You know, so you've got to know that that broker is going to help you. And the other thing I want to be sure and say is you really should interview a couple of different brokerages.
Agree.
Because I find that people move different brokerages. We have that happen. But mostly I find that if they had chosen well for themselves the first time around, they wouldn't want to move.
Right.
You know, because it's got to be someplace that you feel comfortable. And we all are different. You know, there's franchises, there's non-franchise, there's large brokerages, there's small brokerages. Don't take the fact that you see more whatever of one particular company sign around town as that they are the best.
Right.
Not you've got to find what's best for you.
Right.
Where do you feel like you feel at home?
Yeah.
That's why I would advise you not to interview at a coffee shop, maybe the first one or whatever, not to interview offsite. Go to the office.
Yes.
Take a look at the office. How does the office feel when you walk in? What's the vibe? And are there other realtors there that you might get to meet or, you know, that kind of thing? So really, you need to take ownership of the fact that you are an entrepreneur, starting a new business, starting a new career. But you have to fit within this bigger setup, if you will, the brokerage, and you have to know that your business can thrive under that particular ownership.
Right.
So just really take your time and investigate that.
Something else that I didn't mention is then you have to go join your local board of realtors. So in order to join any of our area companies, you obviously want to belong to the multi-list, well, then you've got to go pay fees to join. And I think joining fees right now are anywhere from maybe $1,200, something like that, somewhere around there.
To get all your fees and,
to join. So it's not, you know, you're paying for your school isn't your only big bill. Then you've got to go join the actual board of realtors and pay all those fees up front. So again, it's not a cheap endeavor. And as you're planning out your current job, maybe, and taking on a new job, one of the big questions is, Are you prepared to be the 1099? And do you have that savings account built up?
Right.
Because many times you're not going to get your first paycheck for several months. Mm-hmm. I myself did not get a paycheck for 6 months.
Okay.
So at the time I was married, and thank goodness I had a steady paycheck from him coming in.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not get paid for 6 months.
Yeah.
And that was back in a time, Angie, that, you know, there probably wasn't as much required training. You were just kind of turned loose to start, you know, writing contracts and, you know, good luck. Here's your contract to read on your own. And, you know, let me know if you have any questions. That's kind of what the training encompassed. It was not much. And so we're going to tell you a little bit more about that here in a minute, but we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Buying or selling a home isn't just a transaction. It's a major life moment. But without the right realtor, it can quickly become overwhelming, stressful, and full of unexpected surprises. A lack of expertise or poor communication can mean missed opportunities, lost money, and unnecessary headaches. Reach out to Tanya Murfin at Southwest Missouri Realty to start your home buying or selling journey. And we're back. So, Angie, we were talking about the fees and the getting started back in the Wild West when you and I got our license. There was not a lot of training in place.
Right.
You mentioned that we had contract changes last year.
Mm-hmm.
Am I wrong in saying we at least had 4 contract changes last year? I know we had 3 because I know our current version of our contract, they kept tweaking it and sending out, and that's not normal.
Right.
But it just gives you a window into, if you're doing this part-time, you can't come to trainings in the office and you can't be present in the office every day to learn from your associates that are working in there.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention your brokers that are actually probably going to be involved in your training, then you're probably going to miss those important contract tweaks.
Right, right. And things like being in the office on a regular basis so that you can hear conversations going on.
Yeah.
The best way to learn this business is hands-on.
It is.
I mean, we can train you on contracts, and that's obviously sort of a sit-down classroom style kind of thing, but you learn the most by shadowing and by, you know, finding yourself a mentor and really hands-on experience and listening to how people, you know, connect with their clients and speak with their clients. So there's a lot to be learned by being in the office and coming to the meetings and coming to the trainings and all those things. So it's just you want to set yourself up for success.
Yes.
And while, I mean, I think it's okay if you have a job that you have to, because you need that other paycheck, so you get into it, you know, a little slower than maybe somebody who didn't have to have that and can jump right in. But I think you need to have a plan.
Yep.
You know, you've got to have a plan to leave that full-time other job within 6 months, honestly, if you want to try to be successful in this business. So,
And the best kind of agent is going to be a full-time agent. I am certain there are some great part-time agents out there, but I think as you go to hire a realtor, so if you're going to be a consumer hiring a realtor, you're going to want to ask those questions. You're going to want to know how long they've been in the business. You're going to want to know, you know, what is their value proposition? What are they going to be doing for you when you hire them to represent you as a buyer, and or you're going to list your house with them? Tell me about you. Tell me about your company and your marketing techniques. Tell me all of those things. So you've got to be a skilled salesperson to compete with all of the realtors that are out there that have experience that you know, these newer agents might not have.
Right.
And I just wanted to mention, there's lots of great reasons to get into this business, right?
Yes. Yeah.
My reason in particular was because I had young children.
Mm-hmm.
I had a 2- and a 4-year-old at home. And I wanted a more flexible job because I'd come from healthcare, which was 8 to 5 every day.
Yeah.
And knew I wasn't going back to that. But I knew that I needed to be in the workforce. And I had friends, really good friends, that were realtors at the time. So I'd kind of watch them. I grew up in a family of realtors and developers and builders. And so I knew kind of what that world looked like already.
Yeah.
And that was one of the reasons that I got into it. And that is one of the benefits. You make your own schedule, right?
Right.
You set your own appointments. You make mm-hmm. your own schedule. You mm-hmm. decide when you're going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into the reality of that schedule here yeah. in just a minute.
Yeah.
Because what people don't see behind the scenes mm-hmm. of how much we work, mm-hmm. I think that also needs to be talked about.
Right. Yeah, certainly pros and cons, like in any career path you might yes. choose. But yeah, I think flexibility of schedule is one of the most important ones.
Absolutely.
And you do have the ability. Again, you're an entrepreneur. You plan your own schedule. So yeah. you get to figure out what works for your lifestyle. So that is certainly one of the pros. I think another one is just if you want to do something that is valuable, that you want to provide a service, if you have a heart to serve, it is that industry as yes. well. It is the most rewarding thing whenever you can help any buyer achieve a goal, but particularly first-time home buyers, because they typically have no idea what they're doing.
Right.
And so when you get to the closing table with a first-time home buyer, it is truly one of the most rewarding things that you can do. And you know, and as far as it can be lucrative. Let's, you know, nobody gets into any business not expecting to make money.
Sure.
Right? We just want to temper the expectation a little bit that you're not going to walk in and make six figures, you know, your first
most
year
of the time.
Or 5 years probably.
Right.
So you can make good money if you're good at what you do, just like in anything.
Exactly.
Right? If you're good at what you do, you make money. So, I mean, it can be a lucrative business. On the flip side of that, you know, cons are you do have to realize how to run a business and pay your taxes on your own. And it's just a different way of looking at things whenever you are commission only.
Yes.
And yes, I think the other con is while you do have flexibility of schedule, the hours are long sometimes and you make up your mind what you're going to do with that. But in the beginning, you don't have a lot of choices if you want right. to build a business. Where you and I are, we maybe have some more control over that and we can, you know, kind of tweak our schedules. But in the beginning, you kind of got to say yes to everything.
You do. We call those Pop-Tart realtors.
Yes. Yeah.
And one of the reasons for that is because you are hungry for a paycheck.
Right.
My ninja selling has taught me that new agents typically should be working 80 hours a week.
Mm.
So a 40-hour-a-week job, double that.
Yeah.
So and that is because you're hungry. You are behind, right? You're behind. Mm-hmm. You and I sitting here with 23 and 29 years of experience, mm-hmm. you're already behind in trying to get your name out there,
mm-hmm.
to get your database together, mm-hmm. to decide how you're going to market yourself, to decide how much money you have for advertising and marketing in that first year.
Right.
So hopefully that is what you've saved up before you decided to get into this business. Depending on which brokerage you have chosen, you are either going to have to go to their trainings and make time for that,
mm-hmm.
and or schedule other trainings elsewhere if your brokerage doesn't provide that for you.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different things to think about as a brand new agent. And another piece of advice I would give would be meeting with your accountant ahead mm-hmm. of time.
Right.
Before
yeah.
you decide to make that move, you need to ask them mm-hmm. what it's like to be able to, or to have to rather, pay your taxes in a quarterly fashion, mm-hmm. which is the best way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is all out of your pocket and organized with alongside your accountant and you working together to figure out what that's going to look like. And obviously, if this is your first year in real estate, you don't know what that's going to look like, but your accountant is going to have a lot of tips for you.
Right.
And then after you've got that first year under your belt, then you're going to know a little bit more of what that year looked like,
mm-hmm.
but you can start your kind of your tax planning. And I think, Angie, that is one of the biggest mistakes and biggest holes people get themselves in mm-hmm. this business.
Yes.
Is they, okay, let's say you have had a good first 6 months and you've got several things lined up.
Mm-hmm.
And in the next 6 months, you have, you know, let's say 6 or 8 closings.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting checks. And remember, these checks come in without any taxes
right.
or any marketing or any fees taken out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So your company takes their portion and then you get your paycheck and you're like, oh my gosh, I've got all this money. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go shopping. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, you've spent all your tax money. Mm-hmm. You've spent all your marketing dollars.
Yeah.
And yeah. what you have left, you got to live on for the next month or three. So there's so many holes that you can get yourself in if you don't plan ahead.
Right. Yeah.
And we do not have a tax saving or a 401k, a retirement savings plan.
No benefits. No benefits.
Zero benefits. No health insurance. You got to get that on your own. And it's expensive. Yes. So those are other considerations. You know, yeah. if you have relatively good health benefits in your job that you're leaving, make sure you do that homework mm-hmm. before you leave that job. And what does that look like from an independent
Yeah.
side of buying insurance? It's different, I promise.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So we just encourage you to, you know, check it out. Do yeah. all your homework. And now, Tanya, if we shift just a little bit and talk about, you know, there's no reason these brand new agents can't get business right away, mm-hmm. right?
Sure.
So as a homeowner or a buyer, when you're looking for a realtor, I wouldn't say that you should say no to someone just because they lack some experience.
I agree with that.
You know, I would ask them what, you know, what kind of backup they have. What, yeah. you know, is there
the
is
support.
Their broker? Yeah, the support right. they have. The because here's one good thing about hiring a brand new agent. They're going to be all in. They're going to be hungry, as you said.
Yeah.
They're going to, you might be the first listing they have or the only listing they have.
Right.
So they're going to put all their time and energy into selling your home. Or if they're working with you as a buyer, they're going to do that. So
right.
I wouldn't say that you shouldn't use someone just because they're new or newer in the business. I have new agents right now that are busting it, and they've been trained.
Yep.
They've been well trained.
Yep.
And they have me in their hip pocket, and I'll answer their call. And, you know, so I wouldn't say no. But there are definitely some things that you should know when hiring a realtor. There's certainly right. some things you need to ask. Like you said, you can yes. ask what their experience is, what their market knowledge is.
Exactly.
And that's really one of the most important things, especially if you're listing. You need someone who understands what's going on in the market, because our market is shifting.
Yes.
We said at the top of the show that days on the market is longer now. I mean, we had right. gotten down to what, like a week on the market was average, and right. now we're at about 45 days. So right. that's average market time right now. Most people have been asking me, are prices going down? No, they're not going
they're
down
not,
and they're
folks.
Not going to.
No.
Because it is basic supply and demand, basic
yep.
economics. You cannot, pricing cannot go down when the supply is as low as it is. And we also said at the top of the show that we are starting to see more listings, but we just don't have enough. And
right.
hopefully we'll have more and more. But until that changes and it flips, pricing will still go up. We're about $10,000 higher than we were this time last year in pricing in our market.
Right.
So knowing someone, and somebody who's brand new could know that because they've studied. If they've done their
right.
homework and they've gone to training, they could know what's going on in the market, and they have access to the MLS. They can get all that stuff.
Right.
So ask them what their follow-up is going to be, what
yeah.
their, you know.
Communication
yeah,
is
so important.
Important.
And
so
not
important.
not just with you, the client, but all the people that we have to behind the scenes coordinate with, our
That's
lenders,
right.
our title companies, our appraisers, inspectors, all those
right.
people, you need to know what the follow-up is, what the
right.
communication style is, and agree to something up front.
Right.
They should actually ask you what kind of communication style you would like. Do you want me to
right.
text you? Do you want me to call you?
That's
Do you,
right.
Is email fine? And you need to agree on whatever that's going to, what that's going to look like.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest things that the consumer is looking for when they hire either a buyer's agent or a listing agent is that value proposition mm-hmm. of what am I getting for my money?
Yes.
And am I paying the right person? So,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of buyers and sellers will interview several agents to make
mm-hmm.
sure they're choosing wisely.
Yeah.
But they're going to ask you those questions about communication. And you know, I think often people don't really understand the different levels of communication that we from this mm-hmm. side of the transaction mm-hmm. need to have with them, but also what their expectation is. Yeah. So as you said, we as the professionals should be asking them, what are your work schedules during mm-hmm. the week? Mm-hmm. How can I best follow up with you? Mm-hmm. Are you able to look at your email during the day? Because many times I'm sitting at my desk and firing off emails is sometimes easier than making a phone call or shooting off a text, because your phone is constantly being used anyway. Mm-hmm. So learning that from the beginning, their expectation is probably going to be pretty high of you to communicate on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. So if you're on the market and you said 45 days is an average listing time mm-hmm. right now mm-hmm. of how many days on market, then you should expect that your realtor is following up with you weekly mm-hmm. and after yes. each showing and keeping mm-hmm. you abreast of, well, rates went up half a point this week. That's going to change the buyers probably coming in the door. Mm-hmm. If rates fall, that could change the buyers coming in the door. And all of those things, going back to all the people we communicate with, we have relationships with lenders who are constantly sending rate updates. Mm-hmm. So we're having to read our emails or our text messages that's coming from those lenders mm-hmm. so that we know if somebody calls you this week and says, where are the rates sitting? And that happens every week,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So if you're not in tune to what's happening in the market, you're going to get caught. You're going to get called out on it. And we want our consumer to be informed, mm-hmm. right?
That's our job. Our
yes.
job is to educate. Yes. That's part of our job is to educate, to inform. And honestly, Tanya, I think that if you are interviewing an agent, if you're just having a conversation, whether it starts on the phone or online and they eventually end up at your house, hopefully doing if it's a listing, they're doing a pre-consultation, a counseling visit, and talking about how you need to get your house ready to go on the market. Or if you're a buyer, hopefully you're sitting down with your realtor either online or in the office right. and talking about what you want. But honestly, that realtor, the best realtors will answer probably all your questions before you even have to ask
they
a question.
Will. Yep.
Because they know that they need to, again, their job is to educate and inform and set the expectation and right. help you understand what the market is doing so that you can best price your home, or you know what you're going to have to spend to get a home and right. and what all those costs involve. I mean, I don't even know if I allow my clients to talk, Tanya. I'm talking so But I know the questions that they should ask, even
right.
if they don't know.
Yes.
And so we're trying to cover that stuff up front.
Well, and most of your first-time buyers don't know the questions they need to know to ask, right? Because uh-huh. they've never done this. They've heard about an inspection and an appraisal, and that is really probably the length of it, mm-hmm. of their knowledge. And they don't yeah. even know what that means. They just know the word.
Yeah.
So we are the educators, especially with those first-time buyers. And I'll say this as well. Something happened over this weekend with one of my agents, and the buyer not understanding the way that compensation was paid. Mm-hmm. And the buyer was wanting to represent themselves. Mm. Well, the agent had to explain mm-hmm. how she was going to earn her compensation, uh-huh. right? And why that buyer needed her.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
because going in alone mm-hmm. without representation, they also assumed that the listing agent was going to give up part of their compensation just because they weren't bringing an agent in.
Oh, yeah.
And let me tell you, folks, that's not how it works.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
That is not how it works. So
yeah.
there are a lot of, and these people own a home.
Mm.
So there's a lot of misconceptions,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times,
mm-hmm.
of understanding the entire process.
Right.
And that is, compensation is one of those conversations that you will have, but just the entire process of actually getting a contract and then what happens.
Right.
So when we say we earn our money,
mm-hmm.
we do. We promise mm-hmm. you. And we've worked so hard on our value proposition that it's all about a relationship. It's mm-hmm. not about the money,
mm-hmm.
right? The
mm-hmm.
the money is going to happen when we get to the closing table.
Mm-hmm.
We start working for you without being paid a dime, generally.
Right.
And we go into this relationship together, and we want you, by the time we're done and by the time we're going to get paid and you're going to get a new house or you're going to sell your house, mm-hmm. we want there to be a relationship there where you will call us back next time or where right. you will refer us to your friends.
Right.
So it's a relationship business.
It is. We want you to refer to us as your realtor, much like you would refer to your doctor or your dentist or whatever, because right. we have a professional standard that we hope we exceed, honestly, in terms of your expectations. But we have to earn that. We have to earn your trust. We have to build that relationship. You know, Tanya, NAR came out, National Association of Realtors came out, I think it's been a couple of years ago now, but they came out with the 179 ways mm-hmm. that the things, and this is a booklet of what we do mm-hmm. Throughout the process. So, you know, submit offers and evaluate offers for you if we list the home and you know, just all the things, contracts, offers, listing appointments, what should happen on those, what does happen on those, what does happen during inspections. So 179. And if that wasn't enough, they came out with another one that is an additional 105 ways that we will earn our money. So there is so much that goes on behind the scenes. And again, if you have a good realtor, most of the time you don't even know.
Right.
Because we're taking care of things behind the scenes that we're not going to bring to your attention unless we have to.
Right.
Because you have a job to do and we have a job to do.
Right.
And if we do our job well, your job will not be interrupted mm-hmm. because you can go about your daily business doing the things you need to do. Mm-hmm. And we'll take care of everything behind the scenes. So all that organization about, you know, and the communication that goes on between your lender and us and trying to overcome any obstacles that might be out there or make different suggestions when the inspection happens, helping you to figure out what you're going to do about those inspections. On the buy side, we're helping you determine, you know, what do these things mean? Mm-hmm. Because you don't know what half of it means. Some of it, we don't know what it means. Mm-hmm. We have to, you know, do
it's
some
an education
research.
Sometimes.
It's an education yeah. every time when something is called out. And then if on the sell side, you've got to figure out, you know, how much of this can I afford to do?
Right.
And what's going to make the buyer happy, but also not cost me a ton of money.
Right.
We're talking through all those things, and there's just so much to it that goes on behind the scenes. And it's it, the other thing I was going to say, Tanya, when you were talking about how we handle situations, I guarantee you this week something will come up that I've never heard of before.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in the business, it'll be 30 years in October. And I'll be surprised about something. I learned something last week about liens mm-hmm. that I had no idea about. So if someone, I think the best realtors are the ones who say, if they ask you a question and they don't know, they will say, you know what, that's never come up. Or if they're brand new, they'll say, I'm not sure, but I've got a broker I can call and I'll find out.
Absolutely.
You know, as long as someone is going to get the answer for you, I would much rather that happen, and I think most consumers would as well, than for me to make something up.
Well, absolutely. Yes, we are constantly learning something in this business. And I want to give a personal example to behind the scenes work that mm-hmm. that sometimes we just take care of things uh-huh. and we don't have to involve the client.
Yeah.
So this morning we got a inspection notice on Friday
uh-huh.
and I have an older couple who generally they don't want to bother me on weekends. Uh-huh. And so I can appreciate that.
Sure.
And so it was nothing pressing that we needed to handle on Friday evening because I got it late Friday evening. So I sent it to them and I said, hey guys, look over this weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Call me this weekend if you need to. Well, I never heard from them. And I worked all day Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So this morning I woke up and I thought, okay, I'm going to get on top of this and start making a few phone calls because we all had some questions based off of that inspection notice.
Gotcha.
I already knew that.
Mm-hmm.
So I call the roofing company first thing, ask them a question that needed to be asked based on that notice.
Mm-hmm.
He can't give me an answer, but says I can run out there today if I need to. I'll be on standby.
Mm-hmm.
So he already knows what the question is. I then have to contact the subdivision they live in. And because the subdivision, they live in Fremont Hills, so really it's the city of, mm-hmm. has control over what kind of roof you put on. Mm-hmm. Well, so I check into that. I call the city clerk. She sends me the form. I've already talked to her, and I know exactly what my parameters need to be. Mm-hmm. I call the roofer back, and I say, here's what roof we need to put on. Is that what they've picked? Mm-hmm. No, that's not what they've picked. Mm. They picked a 30-year shingle instead of a 50-year shingle. Mm. Okay. So then I call the sellers, and I say, had you thought at all about, you know, contacting Fremont Hills? You know they have to approve your roof. Mm-hmm. No, we'd mm-hmm. not thought about that. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, what do we do? Mm-hmm. I've already got it under control and got it in the works. I just want you to know that you're going to have to upgrade your roof. Mm-hmm. And he already knew the price because the roofer had done a good job in pricing both a 30-year and a 50-year.
Gotcha. Okay.
So he said, okay, I'll call Garrison Roofing. I said, you don't need to do that. Mm-hmm. I've already done that. I'll call Fremont Hills. You don't need to do that. I've already done that.
Right.
I'm going to hang up with you, and I'm going to call them back and find out exactly what roof we're going to be putting on since we've got to do the 50-year. Mm-hmm. Call Fremont Hills back. They said, if this is what you're putting on, it's already on our approved list. You're already good to go. Just send that to me and I'll file it. You don't even have to go to a meeting. Mm-hmm. Call the buyer back. Tell them it's all taken care of.
Yeah.
The buyer was extremely happy mm-hmm. that they didn't have to get on the phone and make these phone calls. Right. Meanwhile, this took me an hour to get to the bottom of all this. Mm-hmm. And I've mm-hmm. also called the buyer's agent asking this question we all have. She is talking to the buyer to get to the bottom of that question that we all have. So, you know, in an hour's time, I've already solved some issues
right.
that they didn't know we had.
Right.
And now I've got everybody on the same page. Mm-hmm. So that's a small example
yeah.
of behind the scenes what we're doing, because this is what we do for a living.
Right.
This is what we get into the job or into the office at 8 a.m. to do mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. to start getting all of this under wraps so that our seller doesn't have to worry.
Right.
Yeah. So there's just one small example of us learning something every day. So I've never had to fill that out for Fremont Hills. Mm-hmm. And now I will know on the next roof.
Sure.
I know exactly what to do.
Right.
And you got to have a 50-year shingle, by the way. Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Always yeah. something to learn.
There is always something to learn. And that's another good point to, it's hard to do this job part-time.
It is. It really is.
Yeah.
So as we start to wrap this up, Angie, mm-hmm. we don't discourage people getting into the business.
No, not at all.
We just encourage. We do. Yeah. It really is the, I said recently, it's one of the loves of my life. Mm-hmm. I will go to my grave saying that I loved being a realtor and mm-hmm. I've loved my time in the business and mm-hmm. will continue to love it. Mm-hmm. But it's not easy.
Yeah.
It is very time consuming. It's very stressful at times. Mm-hmm. And so we would just encourage you, if you're thinking of getting into the business, to call a trusted advisor and have those conversations ahead of time and do your homework. And if you're a consumer wanting to choose a realtor, make sure you're asking what their value proposition is. What are they doing for you? Mm-hmm. And make sure that you're pleased with what is said to you.
Right. And as always, we would ask that if you know someone who is thinking about getting into real estate, share this episode with them. And hopefully that they will learn something from that. And I'll tell you what, we're always willing to answer questions. So if someone, we would much rather have informed people getting into this industry versus those who aren't really sure and end up getting out, you know, a year later. So please send them our way. We'd love to answer any questions that they have. So share this episode with anyone who's thinking about getting into the business or someone who's thinking about buying or selling real estate this year. So you will help them in that endeavor. We always want to thank Gershman Mortgage for allowing us to record here. And we want to thank you again for listening. We appreciate your time and the effort and just listening and hopefully learning something from the two of us.
And we will catch you next time.
See ya.
Find today's full video by searching the Simply Authentic Podcast on YouTube. Hit subscribe, and there you will find full videos of every episode.